Hello, is anyone there? Tim, I'm good to go if you are.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the award-winning Dear Lovejoy podcast, sponsored by Cooker, spelt quicker, pronounced cooker, 100-degree boiling hot water straight from your kitchen tap. And today's podcast is a, I don't know, at-home special, maybe?
Woohoo!
On this podcast, I'll be giving advice, maybe. I'm not sure I am actually on this one, though I'm not trained in therapy, health, or finance. In fact, I'm not trained in anything. So if you are taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter, which we all know is a horrible idea. It's a terrible, horrible idea. Mark is here to keep me in check. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Tim. Hi, everyone at home.
When I say you're here, we're doing this via Skype. So
we are, yes.
It's a bit different. I can actually see you, but you're miles away from me. How are you at the moment? Are you well?
I am. I've kept well so far. I've kept myself busy. I've kept myself sane, and I've kept myself healthy.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm also joined today because we are joined because they're hanging out in the house is my two 18-year-old twins, Grace and Rose. Hello.
Hi, Dad.
Hello.
Here they are. We'll introduce them later. We'll have a little chat with them later. But first of all, we've got to talk about these just very quickly. We've got sent some mics, and we just got to do a big thank you to Sontronic Podcast Pro mics they've sent us, because hopefully it's sounding good. What do we think?
It's not going to sound as good as it will when we're back together and I can do a proper recording, but if you listen back to the Jasmine Sawyers interview, that's when we used them first and they sounded excellent, I thought.
Really liked Jasmine. She was lovely, wasn't she?
She was fantastic. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to start with a tweet very quickly because Jan Edwards said to me this week, why no podcast for the last month or so? Well, actually, we did Jasmine last week, but we went on a bit of a winter break, didn't we, Mark?
Yes. It's a Klopp-inspired winter break, hoping we'd come back and...
Yeah, and then ever since then, it's been coronavirus. So we actually did a mailbag what edition to go out last Monday, but it just sounded really dated and bad, didn't it? It didn't sound like it was, I don't know, it sounded, what's the word I'm looking for?
It sounded irrelevant, considering what had gone on, I think.
So we have just heard we're in lockdown, and so we're all living from our houses. I'm finding it okay at the moment, but I've only been with my daughters for a day or so.
Wow, that's the laugh of someone who's going insane.
I'm all right at the moment, but I just don't know how long I'm going to be able to put up with them, like just living in. No, I love them. I mean,
in fairness, they also do have to put up with you.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah, that's
who's going to go insane first.
That is true. Listen, before we got onto that, Mark, are you well, by the way? You said you were well.
Yes.
We're going to talk about being locked down a bit in a minute. But first of all, we've got to mention, because we did it on the last mailbag, the irrelevant one. We've got our clinical results back from that trial. So all our regular listeners will know we put ourselves on a clinical diet trial about 2 years ago. And they tested everything for us. So as we ate our way through a couple of weeks, they tested our bloods, our feces, our saliva, our blood sugar levels. Everything was tested, wasn't it, Mark? And we finally got our results back. And I think the idea of it was called the predict test. I think wasn't it the largest diet trial they've ever conducted in the world?
I believe so.
Between us and America.
And, I believe so.
And they basically analyzed what everything we ate and then would say, which is quite an interesting thing at the moment, because basically everyone's just trying to eat whatever they can get their hands on, which is great. You know, it's not great, but it's a new way of looking at things. But the clinical trial, what were your results like? Were you happy with them?
They were mostly as expected, apart from basically all the food I don't normally eat. I'm not supposed to eat, but the one food I was very surprised with was red meats of varying kinds. I'm not supposed to eat, I don't think. Yeah.
So I think we should point out the idea of the test was, if you want to listen to an old interview we did with Dr. Tim, is it Dr. or Professor Tim Spector? Professor, isn't it?
Professor
Tim Spector. And he basically says that each individual, everything you eat, your body can react differently to it. And I think that's the idea of the test. So I'm sort of similar to Mark in a way, and some really interesting things like bacon, I'm not really supposed to eat. It's very low down on the list of things that I should eat. But fantastically, avocado's good, fish is good, chicken's good, that sort of thing. Lots of good fruit. Bizarrely, things like melon weren't good for me.
Yeah,
it was interesting. It was fascinating to get it back and actually see what it's all about. But have you decided to adopt the foods, Mark?
Well, I started to, and then all this ballyhoo kicked off, and it's been a little bit
ballyhoo.
Well, I was just trying to...
can I try and define ballyhoo to two 18-year-old women sitting here? Do you know what ballyhoo means?
No.
I mean, it's fairly onomatopoeic, isn't it? It is what it is.
I can get it from context.
Yes, thank you. See?
Okay, so should we get on and do some stuff then?
Yeah.
Should we do one more tweet and then we'll get stuck into how we're all coping? So this tweet, just so I want to pat myself on the back. This one comes from, what's her name? Oh, Sarah. Sarah, who said... oh, my word, just listening to some old podcast episodes, and in episode 51 from December 2017, that's over a year ago, you pretty much predicted the whole Megxit issue. Have you listened to it back since? And I just kind of want to pat myself on the back there and say I saw it coming. I mean, I make quite a lot of predictions, but I've always thought if you make enough predictions, some will come true. And if you only champion the ones that come true, then, you know, people think you're a winner. And
a stopped bit of clock is right twice a day, Tib. You know that, don't you?
Quantity is key.
Exactly. That's
it. But what I did say was I just felt, I think I remember saying at the time that when Meghan Markle ends up being a royal, she realized she can't do Sunday brunch with her mates and stuff like that. And it's going to become very hard for her, because I think the idea of what Americans think a princess is and what the reality of it is going around and opening stuff up. And it sounds like quite hard work to me and quite laborious. And I think she just, I predicted that she would find it dull and not interesting.
You said she won't be able to do Sunday brunch. You were talking about the aspect of going out with their friends, not big headedly coming on your TV show.
Not doing my TV show.
Fine.
No, we had to stop my TV show this week. We tried so hard to get it out.
And
it was really, it was. We tried so hard, literally up until Saturday night we were going on air, and it just became, in the end it became impossible, because it's so hard to social distance yourself. And as we know, you know, the guidelines were 2 meters apart, studios are busy, there's a lot of cameramen. And they're able to keep the news, for anyone who doesn't know this, they're able to keep the news on air because there's a lot less people involved in putting a news show out than an entertainment show. Most of the cameras in news studios now are not manned. They're automatic. They're robotic. I don't know what the word is, Mark. Do you know what the word is for those cameras, those ones which don't have any men behind them or women, humans?
Or automated?
Automated, yeah. They're all automated in the studio, and then so they'll have a producer who produces the show. They'll have someone in the gallery who's, or a vision mixer and a sound person and some lighting guys. It'd be very skeleton staff, so that's how they're able to keep going, getting the news out. But anything like an entertainment show, there's far too many people involved in it, and it was deemed that it would be too safe, too unsafe. And I think it was a good idea in the end. We were all champing at the bit, desperate to go on air and broadcast. But I think this is the thing, you know, we're all trying to be stoic, but a disease is a little bit different from a war, as in you're not. It's great to have stoicism sort of in a warlike situation. However, with a disease, it's basically just don't contact each other, stay away from each other. Grace and Rose, I'm going to talk to you because you were at school last week. Boris and his people his government hadn't shut the school down. I was worried about you going to school. Were you worried? Right, I'm going to have to tell you which one speaks and which time. Grace, were you worried?
Not really, because it hadn't quite hit me yet that it would. I mean, obviously I knew there was a chance that schools would be cancelled, but it didn't really seem like reality. So when they cancelled schools and A-levels, I was quite shocked, actually. And also, it was my last week of school ever, because now I finished A-levels, technically. I felt like I kind of had to go in.
So Grace and Rose were both about to study for their A-level. Well, they were studying for their A-levels. They'd done their mocks. You'd done well, hadn't you, in fairness? Yeah. You'd done really well. And are you upset that you don't get to take your exams? I mean, I know this sounds really trivial in what's going on out there, but, it's your life ahead of you. And you wanted, did you want to take the exams?
I think we're both quite lucky that we're working quite hard through school, so we're not in a really terrible position now with our A-levels. But I think it is kind of frustrating just because it is 2 years of work, and more than that, it's kind of the whole education system is geared up towards exams and GCSEs, A-levels, degrees. So it just feels like a misstep. But obviously in the grand scheme of things, kind of when you put it in perspective, it's not the worst thing to happen. Hmm. And I mean, it's the right measure to take.
Yeah.
It's a bit anticlimactic, but it's nothing compared to what other people are going through.
My daughters are so smart, yet they still haven't realized leaving wet towels on a carpet is not a great idea. So I've got however many weeks we have locked down now to try and educate them about that. And
I'm so excited.
Yeah, and see if they can.
I really feel like I can learn so much from you from these few weeks, Dad.
Mark, the other thing which intrigues me about, well, not intrigues me, but sort of, I don't know, obviously the older people are the ones who are, they're saying, are more vulnerable, even though now we're seeing in Spain and Italy and all these countries how young people are actually ending up in hospital. There's people with liver damage, there's people with lung damage, and this is for a long time. So I don't think young people can be too complacent about this.
Absolutely.
However, I do really, my heart goes out to young people. Grace and Rose here at 18. When I was 18, Mark, when you were 18, we were both out every night, never at home, having fun, enjoying ourselves. And I just feel really sorry for them all to be locked down. And obviously most of them are being locked down with their parents. At 18, you really don't want to be hanging out with your parents, do you? I know I'm probably a good person to hang out with, fun and funny.
Apart from you, Dad, you're the exception.
But it's tough, isn't it, do you think?
Oh, it must be a nightmare. I can't imagine it, because I'm used to, as a freelancer, not doing much in the day and then not doing much in the evening either. I can't imagine it. So I do feel for you guys. That must be awful.
I've got a couple of friends as well who are really struggling with the idea of being on their own. I'm texting them all the time and FaceTiming them and doing all that sort of stuff. But I think it's really hard. A lot of people have never experienced just isolation and being on their own. And if you are older and you're just ending up on your own, it could be quite tough mentally. I'm okay with it. Like you, Mark, I'm freelance as well, and I do get to spend large periods of time on my own, so I'm all right with the whole concept of it. But I think people out there can struggle, and I will give you some advice if you are struggling. Grace and Rose love it when I give them advice all the time. What's it like having a guru as a dad?
The texts I get sent, they're hilarious sometimes. I mean, sometimes I read them out, they're quite funny. You're always giving helpful life advice that's not really that helpful. Accept the situation, move on. Can I also mention, I did get a text last week saying, what is it like having a guru as a dad? So, it is himself to be a guru.
Well, what if you want to deal with this
is
problem,
what I like about it, about having this insight, because I sometimes feel you put it on just for the podcast, but you're like it all the time.
Well, I think now I've learned from this podcast some valuable life lessons, advice. I might as well pass it on
to
my
Thanks, Mark.
I might as well pass it on to my children.
Would you class yourself as a guru before you started the podcast?
No, I've just become a guru. I don't class myself as a guru now, by the way. I'm just, I like to...
No,
like
you've said it twice.
I've read so much. I've learned so much. But I will say to anyone out there who feels like they're suffering a bit in isolation, and we all are going to our own degrees, is acceptance of any situation is the key to life. I've learned that over the last, took me a long time, and I've gone through a lot of frustration, a lot of sad times, a lot of depression and whatever else. But when you actually accept your situation, I think that's the main key. So once you've accepted your lockdown, then you can decide what you're going to do about it. And if you're not accepting it, some of my friends are going, you know, they just can't accept it. They're going, when's it going to go away? And it's like, well, it's not for a long time. So accept that we're going to be locked down, and then try and plan and work out what you're going to do. But anyway, I've diverted from what I wanted to talk to Grace and Rose about, which was the royal family, Mexico. Because I'm not sure about it. I swing backwards and forwards between thinking the royal family are great. I like the Queen, by the way, and then thinking I'm not sure I want them, and I just don't know where I'm at it. And I talk to a lot of people about this. As being 18-year-olds, do you have an opinion on the royal family?
I mean, I usually just choose the opposite stance to you.
They do on everything. Doesn't matter what I say.
He prefaces everything with, you're going to disagree with me.
Well, you do.
You're usually wrong.
I feel like I'm giving you good practice for when you're a politician, because you just argue against me and everything. So that was Grace, by the way. Rose, what do you think of the royal family?
Well, I am worried about you being vindicated in terms of Meghan Markle. I don't want more predictions happening, but I'm not really sure that, I don't know, I think with all the news right now, I'm not really sure that I have so much of a formed opinion on them.
I also quite like the Queen, I've got to be honest. I can't really see a logic for it. I just like her.
Right, so this is me. I swing drastically between going, I want the royal family, to I don't want the royal family.
Yeah.
And then I hear the other day that the Queen is going to do an announcement to the country. And
she's
not
really the best person, is she?
No, I think, thank God for that. It's like, it feels like she's, if she comes in, everything will be all right. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm old.
Maybe,
but I'm like,
the Crown.
I've watched The Crown, yeah. But I think when the Queen comes and she actually addresses the country, it's like, it's going to be all right, because the Queen's going to talk to us and the Queen's going to tell us what to do, and we're going to do it. I felt like if the Queen had come out earlier and said, everyone stay at home, we'd have all done it, you know, because we kind of don't listen to our politicians as much as the Queen. Mark's staying out of this. He always stays out of royal family stuff, don't you, Mark?
I know when you've got aristocratic blood, it's very difficult to get involved in this sort of thing, Tim.
Which royal family?
Polish, yeah.
Oh, because no one can trace them.
Oh, they can.
I think it's hard to justify, to be honest, especially all of them. There's so many of them. Like, aren't we Beatrice and Eugenie? I really don't care about them at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's about caring about them. I think it's about whether we the power they have, because they don't have power. That's the thing that's always concerns me, is the power shift. And when I think we all agree we quite like the Queen, but when the Queen dies, we're left with but we end up with Prince Charles. And I think it's a different thing when there's a king on the throne rather than a queen. Have you thought about this, either Grace or Rose? Am I getting you in trouble here? You're so young, and this could stay with you forever. Should we move on?
Yeah, what if I do decide I want to be prime minister?
Yes.
Yeah, Rose,
I think you'd be a good prime minister.
Badmouth the Queen now.
Yeah, don't badmouth the Queen. So listen, I'm going to move it on to an email we've had in. This one's for Mark, because you might be able to help him here, Grace and Rose. Only just listening to the 27th of the first episode today, but have a technique for running. Now, here we go again. Mark has a little problem with his running. What's your problem, Mark?
I forget to breathe when I'm running.
Mark forgets to breathe when he's running. Have you heard of this before?
Isn't breathing one of the first things you learn how to do?
All right.
Okay. Well, anyway, Neil sympathizes with you. He says, don't swing your arms too fast past your body. Pretend that you are going to put your thumb in your pocket with each swing. That's really amused me, the idea you're going to do that. The theory is that the more movement of your upper body, the more restrictions you're breathing. Might not work for everyone, but this has been working for me. Can be strenuous on your arms to start with, though. Good tip there, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for that, Neil. I'm sure that's going to end up in weeks of mockery from Lovejoy. Thank you.
But I think one of the things we should discuss is, because my daughters and you, Mark, have all got an insatiable appetite for watching television via, well, Grace and Rose watch it via the internet.
My main skill.
It is. If anyone was to say to me, what are Grace and Rose really good at? I'd say watching TV.
Thanks, Dad.
But not only that, they go the extra 9 yards, Mark, because every time you watch something, they then Google the hell out of it, and they know everybody in it.
And
they
spoil actually, the end.
IMDb.
They actually haven't seen stuff, and they tell me about it like they've watched the whole thing.
Rose watched video essays on YouTube of films she's never watched.
Why?
They entertain me, and then I can talk to Grace about them, and then we decide one time we'll watch them, and we never do.
How mental is that? That they're not even watching the film; they're watching stuff about the film, and not actually watching the film.
You should hear us talking about award season, because we debate all these films that none of us have watched.
Yeah, we haven't watched any of them.
All right, so Mark, in a minute we'll go into Netflix and what we've all been watching and stuff, but let's talk about award season. So do you agree with the Oscar winner? Have you seen that film, by the way, Parasite?
Amazing.
It's really good.
It is. Mark, you've seen it, haven't you?
I have, yeah, it's fantastic.
You've seen it?
I've seen it, yeah. So do we all agree it was the right choice for the Oscar?
I would say so, yeah, I think so. I always make a point of seeing all the films on the best screenplay and best adapted screenplay list, and it was certainly the strongest on those, I think.
What about the one with Brad Pitt and that was good. What was that called? Hollywood something.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Have you seen that?
We went to see it with you.
Do you know what?
You took us to the cinema to watch it.
We had a really long discussion about it.
You know, at the beginning of this podcast, you were trying to work out what we should call this. We're going to call this At Home with the Lovejoys because it's just like being around the table.
I'm a really good dad, aren't I?
You are.
No, I am. I'm a really good dad. I've decided.
You just got a terrible memory.
Just decided.
Yeah.
It'd be better if you could remember going with us.
Yeah, but I took you to the theatre, so I've got a good memory.
Yeah. Well, this year, Rose and I did decide to watch every film so we would actually be able to know what we're talking about. So we wanted to watch every film on the list. Some of them we just didn't have an interest in. Ford versus Ferrari had no interest.
That
in
is brilliant.
Ford. Is it? Okay, yes. So I should watch it.
Historically, fairly accurate and very entertaining.
I do have a lot of time now.
You don't need to want to know about cars either. It's brilliant.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's great.
That's good. Last night they made me watch a film which was thoroughly entertaining. What was that one called?
Captain Fantastic.
Have you heard about that one?
My dad watched it yesterday.
That's really good, isn't it?
And it turns out that some of my parenting techniques are spot on.
Yeah, it was a big mistake.
Is that your new nickname?
Let him watch it. He's come off it going, oh, I'm going to be like that dad.
Is that your new nickname?
He really saw himself in that character.
Well, the one thing I always tell my kids is tell the truth, and I'm going to tell them the truth. And if you tell the truth and you spend your life in truth, then your life's just really easy. And I love that about him, the way he did that in that film. And that made me feel good about myself because it did feel like, I know it's only a film and it's make-believe, but it did feel, when everyone's going, you got to protect the children. And I'm going, no, tell the children the truth because they've got a right to know the truth. And I quite liked that. So that was the bit of the film I liked. But it was a film. It was make-believe. It's not a real story, was it? Not a true story.
Part of it is based on his upbringing. And also, he just had a kid, the director, and he wanted to think about how to ethically raise his child. I read the IMDb page after watching it.
Of course.
They did trivia.
So I recommend that film, though. I enjoyed it. Mark, what have you been watching on Netflix for our listeners, if they're interested?
Listen, I won't take you through the whole list because it's so long. And also, we've got other podcasts to do. But the thing that really has blown me away this last week is a thing called The Tiger King. Have you seen this?
I wanted to watch it. The twins wouldn't watch it with me. They hate me calling them the twins. I'm sorry. Grace and Rose wouldn't watch it with me.
This is extraordinary. You've got to watch it. It's almost too hard to explain, but it's about the world of the people who keep big cats and sort of exotic animals in America. Turns out there's a massive rivalry. There's murder threats. It's too hard to explain. You have to watch it. It really is quite something. And it's not too many parts. It's not one of those ones that goes on for 70 hours. It's quite digestible. And every person is more despicable and insidious than the last one, and you don't know who to dislike more. But it's so entertaining and really funny in parts as well.
What's so weird about this? As soon as you start talking about it, Rose has gone straight onto her phone and Googled it, so she's got some information about it.
I just remembered that a fact I read, which is because they predict there are 2,000 to 5,000 tigers living in Texas. Then there could be more tigers in Texas than there are in the wild.
Yes. You've just spoilt the end line of the film.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oops.
Well, I saw it on Instagram.
Spoiler. Okay.
I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah, really do watch that. And on a very, very similar vein, I'll do one more, which is, it's called The Mind of Aaron Hernandez. Have you seen this?
Do you know what? I started watching that, and then I just kept thinking, should I really be spending my life watching stuff like that?
It's one of those things that keeps twisting and turning, and it starts off about one thing and ends up about a completely different thing. It's really worth watching.
If you like that, maybe you'd like Don't Fuck With Cats. Have you watched that?
Sorry, your language, please. Oh, no, you're 18. You're allowed to swear.
I'm 18. I'm allowed to swear now. You made the rule.
Jesus Christ, stop swearing. I'm your dad. I'm your father. Have you watched that?
No, I haven't. I've been told that I've been told that the brutality towards cats would be, I would find it upsetting. So I haven't watched that.
Mark's obsessed with his cat, Myrtle.
I mean, I love.
What do you do? What was that weird thing you did? You like wanted to take it on holiday or something? What
was it? Oh, was it the aromatherapy?
Oh, that's it. Yeah, what? Aromatherapy for his cat. I mean, it's
what is aromatherapy?
Wait, you paid for that?
No. They like certain smells, so I found a candle with a certain smell and put it in the room that she sleeps in, just to see if it.
Does she have her own room?
Well, she has. She sort of stays in like a sort of garage area. She sleeps in there.
Mark's a lunatic.
I mean, you love Lilac so much. You love our cat.
The princess, yeah.
She could benefit from some aromatherapy. I'm sure she'd love it.
Maybe she could. Have you watched, do you watch many documentaries, Grace and Rose?
I watch some, yeah, but
them. I speak to them like I don't know who they are, like they're strangers. However, they're 18, so for the last 3 or 4 years, they've really not had a lot to do with me. And because they've got each other, even though they despised each other for a year of it, they're very close and they do everything together. And I was talking to their mum not so long ago about this. It's really weird because you're always, like most kids are really close to their parents, probably closer to their parents than their brother and sister. But if you're a twin, you're much closer to your sister than you will ever be with your parents. So sometimes I give them presents and they go, thank you, and they walk away. And I think, I have no idea whether they like them or not, but they're going to discuss it with each other. You are a lot closer to each other than you are with me and your mum, aren't you?
Well, I'm with Grace 24/7, so it's hard not to be close to her.
Yeah.
And we have we obviously all have the same references and inside jokes, which makes you feel left out sometimes.
Because they're not funny. You've never said anything funny. Oh, Rose said something funny once. No, Rose did say something funny once.
What? Yeah.
No, you did. You said something funny once. Don't put yourself down. You did.
Well done, Rose.
Just the one time.
And you wonder why I'm closer to Grace.
should we hear from our sponsors, or do we want to do anything else on the Netflix side?
No, I think we'll save some of these. Honestly, the list is so long. As you know, it's all I do.
Yeah. So are you one of these people?
I have done one different thing this week.
Go on, what?
You'll be pleased about this. I was worried about, obviously we heard from Boris the other night about the lockdown not being quite as stringent as we thought. And I was worried they wouldn't let me go running. So I bought a skipping rope to use in the back.
Wow.
I used to skip, and you've got to be careful because it's quite a pounding on the knees.
I've been looking at workouts. 10 minutes of skipping a day is a roughly equal to 30 minutes jogging. So I'm going to give that a go.
What, in what, 10 minutes in one go?
Yeah. So different, wow. You know, different hit things. Yeah.
I did Tabata with it. Is that what it's called? Where you do like 30 seconds on, 10 seconds off type scenario.
Right, okay.
On something. And that just, your lungs, they really are hurting afterwards because you are really breathing heavily. Skipping takes out of you. It's a great idea. Well done. Are you going to try and do all the trick ones, bouncing on one?
There's a few YouTube videos I'm going to follow.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea. All right, listen, let's hear from our sponsors.
Turn on the cooker. Cooker spelled with a Q-U. Turn on the cooker and instantly make a brew. Turn on the cooker. Cooker spelled with a Q-U. Turn on the cooker. Water for vegetables too.
100 degree boiling hot water straight from your kitchen tap. It does your hot water, does your cold water, does your 100 degree boiling hot water, does filtered water and sparkling filtered water. Fantastically, I've got two people sitting right next to me who use it constantly because these two never stop drinking tea. You're obsessed with tea, aren't you?
I would say obsessed is strong, but yeah.
You like a cup of tea, don't you?
I love a cup of tea.
You're very British.
I know. I think I have tea like at least 4 times a day now. Do it's going to get worse during this period.
What do you think of the hot tap? Bearing in mind they sponsor the show, what do you think of the hot tap?
Oh, it's amazing. I love it. No, genuinely, it's so much easier to use and doesn't take very long.
Yeah, exactly. I had a tweet, actually. Here we go. It was from Padders, who said, talking about drinking tea and stuff. Thanks, Cooker, by the way. We love you because you sponsor us. And it's really good. I mean, it's such a great thing because it keeps us on air and pays for the bits and bobs, pays for the batteries and stuff like that. From Padders, who says, what's your best flavor of crisp? Now, obviously, I was just going to ignore this, but I was wondering whether the youth of today are interested in crisps. We don't eat them here, do we, really? Are you a crisp eating couple? It's like I've never met them before. It's really strange. But from the age of 11, you've been getting buses and trains to school, haven't you? Right. And so I realized after a while that there's literally no point in caring about what you were going to be doing because I don't see you. You also go between me and your mums. So there's great periods of time that I have literally no idea what you're doing. So I have no idea what you're eating on a day-to-day basis. So I just decided not to worry about it.
On the way from mum's as well, Poundland is on our route home.
So what do you buy in there?
They do 3 pot noodles for £1.
How do you have a pot noodle on the bus?
Not on the bus. That's just, I take that to school sometimes.
But are you crisp eating?
Yeah, we eat quite a lot of crisps.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you eat crisps?
Yeah, because we always have them at mum's house.
I'm really disappointed.
Lovejoy family bombshell.
Secrets are coming out.
But I'm really disappointed in them. What is it like coming round to my house? Because I really don't have any of food in the house. Like I don't have sweet stuff, do I, or crisp or anything like that.
My only snack is crackers. I eat a lot of plain crackers.
Round here?
Yeah.
Sometimes you put cheese on them, though.
Oh, yeah, sometimes I mix it up.
But what do you think when you come? Are you just so used to it now, you're not disappointed?
Yeah, I mean, you've been healthy for a really long time. And even before, when we were young, we weren't allowed anything sweet during the week. So we've always been healthy at your house, specifically.
And do you hate me for that, or am I right?
I resent you forever, but I'll get over it one day, maybe.
There was quite a long pause there.
Maybe have this chat when the mics are down.
That's a very good idea. So what is your favourite flavour of crisps? Let's just get this out now.
Skips.
Skips?
They're so good.
70s.
Pringles.
Wow.
Rose buys Skips all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, you can get like 24.
What do you mean 24
you
what?
You can get like 24 packs.
For how much? A pound?
No, it's £2.
Oh, that is ridiculous.
That's the £2 shop next door.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, if you've got a favourite flavour crisp, what would you be going for?
Salt and vinegar every single time.
Okay.
It's a classic, to be honest.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten crisp for such a long time. I think the last sort of thing I used to eat probably was Doritos. Still do that a bit sometimes with the chilli. So I'd go with that. Right. Gemma says, I need a new hobby, preferably something cheap and that can be done at home. This was actually before Boris locked everything down. We got that. She says, any suggestions? Okay, so we've got 4 of us here. We've all got to come up with maybe a suggestion for her. She's got to lock down. I was thinking, me personally, whilst you lot think, that everyone's saying things like learn a foreign language. It's all quite complicated. It takes effort, that. And I think if you can do that, learn the banjo, whatever it is you want to do, I think that's amazing. However, I think there'd be something more practical, and I think stretching. Now, why are you laughing?
As a hobby?
Yeah.
It's really exciting.
Right. Can you imagine if you started now, right?
What's just stuff in the house or your body?
What?
Stretching what?
Stretching your body.
Okay.
Right? I think having control over your body is one of the great things you can do. Stop looking at me like that. I think it's one of the great things you could do. And if you started now, right, and you were, you know, what we're March 2019, 2020, right? By 2025, if you started now every day, you might be able to do the box splits. How cool would that be? If you're out in a pub, girls, let's think about this, right? You're young, 18, so you'd be, how many years did I do? 5. So you'd be 23 years old. You're in a pub, like there's guys and girls around, and suddenly you go down on the dance floor into box split. every girl is going to go, I want to be like her. And every guy is going to go, oh, hold on, I'm doing that thing now, aren't I? Where I've got. Sorry, girls and guys would be saying the same. I was implying that they would only have boyfriends.
No, I know. I missed the word.
Heteronormative ideals. He's placing them.
Yeah, Tim. Such a heteronormative idealist.
I tell you, it's so hard having dinner around here now. Everything I say is like, it just, I say something wrong. Anyway, what do you think? If you learn to stretch, you could go down and do something like that.
Rose, can you touch your toes? I will be learning to stretch.
So there you go. It's a good idea to get control of your body. Learn to walk on your hands. Learn to do things like that.
You always throw it in our face that you can walk on your hands.
Can't anymore. I've got a bad back. Mark, what's your idea for what someone should do at home?
Well, I'm going to have to go with what I have to. What's the phrase? Preach what I whatever the
practice
whatever the
what you preach.
Practice what I preach. I'm going to say skipping. Get a skipping rope.
So we've both of us have gone for exercise. Because one of the things I was thinking is maybe write poetry or learn poetry. And I don't like poetry and I can't write it.
I don't want to read your poetry.
I like poetry. Like
I tell you what, let's do another one of these, right? And next time we come on, we've all got to write a short poem.
Oh, come mate.
On. Come on, that's Mark, you can do that.
That is. So I thought you were a producer. That's a terrible idea.
You write song lyrics, so you should be able to do it.
Yeah, but about hot cooker taps.
Come on, right? We'll all write one, right? Let's try and do this again this week. If people like it, we'll do it again. And we've all got to arrive with a short poem. It can't be long and boring. And it's got
when
to
he said he hadn't gone insane for a lot of
time. Yeah, I know.
Right. So, Mark's idea is that skipping, mind stretching. Grace.
Listen to every podcast that you guys have made.
Wow.
That's a great idea, but we don't believe you. It's
a
hobby.
I have listened to one.
You've never listened to
and
one.
And you made us listen to it in the car.
Oh, which one was that?
You don't even remember. So right. That's what I'm going to be doing.
That's what you need from your family, isn't it? Support.
But I will support you in this period. I'll listen to them.
Right. What was the... but what should someone learn as a hobby? Hobby can't be listening to my podcast.
Hobby can't be. Okay.
Rose, have you got one?
It wasn't learning, but I would just say reading.
Yeah.
Because I read a lot.
they do have an insatiable appetite for reading as well as watching TV.
We went to a bookstore, we got out some books, and we've made a little pile.
Maybe you should do a book review. What book are you reading at the moment?
Well, I've just started. I can't remember the title, but it's a Noam Chomsky one.
I think it's like Who Will Rule the World.
I don't think they're my children. I really don't. I keep going back to the hospital and saying, are you sure 18 years I've been doing it, are you sure they're mine? They read books, they're smart, they know who Noam Chomsky is.
I've started reading Educated because Rose recommended it, and also Invisible Woman.
Are they good?
I mean, I've only just started them because
two at a time.
But Invisible Woman's really good so far.
They were moaning earlier. They were moaning that they're going to run out of books. And I said, look, I've got so many books.
They're all self-help.
Which is why I do the podcast.
No.
Yeah, but I know so much now. I can help you. Right, two lessons in life. One, acceptance. That's it. Accept life. Accept the situation you're in. Lesson number two, take responsibility for your life. It's nobody else's. As everyone keeps on saying to me, people used to say to me things like, well, what do you think about Grace and Rose when they were 17? And I was like, I don't know. They're adults. They're 17. They're their own people. It's up to them what they do. But you, at some stage in everybody's life, you've got to realize it's nobody else's life. It's only yours. And you have to not blame the government, not blame where you're born, not blame anything about you. You just got to go, this is it, this is what I've got, and this is what I'm going to do with it.
I'm going to blame you.
Yeah, I know. That's the best thing to do. Is that actually, you should blame me.
Yeah.
I'm quite nuts.
I think it's easier.
So that's good. So did you have one, Grace? Did you
book?
Come
up? Yeah.
Rose's book.
Hobbies. I really have not been thinking. I thought that I was going to maybe learn how to alter clothes, but I think that could be a pipe dream.
Sounds like a very expensive pipe dream.
I know, it's a good idea.
That's a really good idea. I used to teach that.
Me some.
Well, no, I used to do it as a guy. Yeah. I had literally no idea. I used to blag it all.
Oh, I can bleach T-shirts.
I used to take jackets and just alter them because I didn't have the money to buy new jackets. And I just used to buy secondhand stuff and try.
Yeah, see, I buy a lot from charity shops. They never really like fit. So that would be quite a good
idea. That's a good idea. Yeah. Tailor them and cut them and stuff.
Well, I think that's a bit much.
It's not that hard. I don't know how to do it, but I used to do it. Well, you did it with a needle and thread.
But doing it well is a different
thing. Oh, I didn't do it well. I used to use garters and things, like fashion accessory. You know garters, sock garters. I used to use those, and they used to pull the jackets in, so they gave it a tailored line because they were too big. Yeah, I think I've still got one in the basement.
What happened to you?
Yeah, what happened to me?
I mean, I like raiding the basement. We always find some old vintage jackets that I can wear.
Yeah, I kept a lot of my clothes down in the basement. And so I always thought, my mate Jason, when we were all into zoot suits and stuff years ago, the big baggy...
What is that?
The big baggy trousers and oversized jackets and stuff. And they became very fashionable. And my friend Jason, his granddad had loads of suits. And I always remembered that we were all having to go to secondhand shops to try and buy it. And he had a ready supply. So I always thought, if I keep the clothes, then when you're older, you can have them. And you have. I've given you all sorts of things, haven't I? So it's been quite good. Everyone laughed at me. I did it on Sunday brunch once. I got all the jackets out. We all wore them. And everyone laughed at them. There's loads down there with silk hoods.
That's what we can do these few weeks. We can go through the basement.
We go down and go through the basement. That's what we can do. Mark, are we going to do the three words on this one?
Let's do it, Tim.
Okay.
And then I want your daughters to witness the utter cobblers that comes out of your mouth on this section of the podcast. I think it'll be good for your relationship.
I've witnessed it quite a lot. I'm trying to find it actually because I've got it. Oh, here we go.
Pearls of wisdom and life hacks, not advice and not quite facts. Heed my words, don't listen to Tim. You might end up just like him.
Right, number one. Right, so what this is this, Grace and Rose, this is three words that I've randomly got, and I've got to pick out of my brain some form of wisdom about all three of them. And so,
God, you've been encouraging him, Mark.
I have.
He doesn't really. He laughs at every one of them. Right. The first word I've got is head. And this is just very simple. It's only two sentences. Remember, you are not your head. You are your foot too. And I think that's really important.
What? Oh, my God. That is technically a synodical phrase. I did English A-level.
A what?
What? It's like a synodoc. Synodoc is when you pick out a part of yourself.
Synecdoche.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah. I've only ever written it, but there you go. So you're actually using key terms.
Well, there you go. So what does that actually mean then? Could people...
It means nothing.
Is it a problem that people think they're their heads?
No.
No.
Yeah, it is, because you've got to remember that you're not sitting behind your eyes looking out. You're everything. You're your heart. You're everything. You're your foot. You're your toe. And I think people get very obsessed with just looking in the mirror at themselves and going, that's who I am. And that is not who you are. You're more than that. You're more than that, girls. Come on, you can be better than that.
Better.
I keep telling them, the key to life is find a passion. Like, forget all the exams. No, don't forget the exams. The exams are a good idea, but find a passion. And if you find a passion for something you love, then you can follow that. And you don't have to, you know, if you find a job you love, you never have to work again. And that's it. Anyway, what do you want to do for a living? I'll move on to the next one.
Yeah.
Silence.
You know, there's no answer.
The next word is haircut. and this is really good, like, little lesson for you here. The haircut you think is cool now will look ridiculous in the future. Remember, life is fluid. Feelings and emotions are fluid. What you're feeling now, you will not be feeling in the future. You have to make sure you keep moving. If you stay still, that's when you get in trouble. Make sure you're not going to be stubborn.
Is that aimed at our hair?
No, it's not aimed at your hair at all.
Certainly not aimed at mine.
Yeah. No, it's just it's a great metaphor for life that you've got to remember to keep moving. And I've got a lot of friends who are stuck in the 80s and they go, I like 80s music, I like this, I like that. And you've got to keep moving. If you don't keep moving, that's when you get stuck. And this is great that I've got you
the
here.
The fact you're actually, you got that from Haircut is...
You're actually listening to me for the first time. I love this. I want to do this
I
every night.
So I can't get to my bedroom.
So, so I can preach to you. It's a good metaphor though, right? Because you look at your haircut. I remember when you saw yourself in what was it? You had, skinny jeans.
Oh, God.
And you look at yourself in skinny jeans, you go, oh, God, I can't believe I wore those. Yeah. Even though it was not so long ago, now you wear your big baggy 90s clothes. Do you appreciate that you look like you're someone from the 90s? Do you appreciate that?
I mean, yeah, that's how fashion works.
Yeah, Dad.
All right.
But they were. You know what? That one wasn't terrible.
That's good. Yeah. And the head one.
Not terrible. Good? Not good.
And the head one's good.
No.
No. I think the second one was better.
Why? The head one's great.
The first one didn't really mean anything.
Look, after the podcast, I'll tell you all about it. It does mean something. People think they're their heads.
And the third one is usually the worst.
Okay. Actually, I'm excited now.
No, actually, it's a good one this time. The word came up and it was story. This is a reminder that your life is a story. Make sure that your story is interesting. Make sure you're living your story and not actors or the Kardashians. Or Gemma Collins. And you don't want to be lying on your deathbed thinking, hey, I spent half my life thinking about Khloe Kardashian or some Love Island contestant or Gemma Collins.
That one was aimed at us.
Yeah.
It is aimed at you two, yes. I saw it and I thought, hold on, why are you spending so much time looking at other people living their lives rather than living your own life? Can you explain that, please, to all the listeners on the podcast?
It's much more entertaining to do that. Yeah.
But you're
Rose can quote an insane amount of Gemma Collins.
Can you go on?
I'm claustrophobic, Darren!
Where's that from?
Celebrity Big Brother, season 17.
That was from her famous speech at Dunkirk, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hold on, did you watch that?
No, I haven't watched a season. I've watched a compilation, though.
You just, see, the thing is, you don't watch anything. You just watch stuff, which is, you just watch memes.
Or I watch people react to stuff quite a lot. Yeah.
You're not actually watching anything anymore. You're reading about stuff. You're watching bits of it. And then you're regurgitating.
Rose watches YouTube videos on 1.75 speed.
Why?
Why?
It's too slow otherwise.
Oh, dear me.
You can barely understand them. You get used to it, though. I'm not sure I agree with the whole story thing though.
Your life is a story. This is like, I hate to point this out, and let's hope we can get over the COVID-19, the coronavirus, as quickly as possible. And let's hope now we're locking down, there's as a few people as casualties as possible. And it all, you know, kind of works out that we've got on top of it. But there are going to be people who die on this, and there are going to be people who are severely ill. And, you know, when we get through the other end of this, it's going to be a massive thing in our lives, and especially your lives, because it hit you right when you're 18, and it's a big part of your story. And I think it's, I don't know, I'm going to get a bit deep here, but I think it hopefully will, you're going to get annoyed with me saying this, but hopefully it reset people going, hey, let's sit down and watch the Kardashians. At the end of this, hopefully you come out of it and go, oh, God, we got to live our lives. Let's get down the park. Let's look at the trees. Let's go and like meet some people, have some fun, go and have a drink, you know, do all that exciting stuff rather than sit and watch TV, because we're going to be locked down now for at least 12 weeks. Oh, no, 8 weeks, is it? Have we been told 8 weeks at this particular moment? I think it was. I think
it's 3 months.
Oh, no.
12 weeks. No,
12 weeks.
Is it 12? Is it 3 weeks definitely locked down? And then whatever it is, anyway, we're locked down for a long time now. You're going to be watching a lot of this. And hopefully when you get to the other end, it'll be the death of all that stuff, hopefully the reality and stuff like that. And people start living their lives rather than the other lives. And the other positive about this, I really think, is I think hopefully we're going to look at, you know, I'm worried about you girls because of where you're going to live when you're older. No one can afford a house in London at the moment where you live. And I'm really hoping this resets the way we look at community. I'm really hoping that somehow we rethink how we're redistributing the wealth in the world. And I'm really hoping we look at the planet, which is going to heal itself really quickly with the lockdown of the airports and all the cars and stuff. Apparently in China, they can see blue skies instead of smog. You can see fishes coming back into water. Dolphins are coming up the canals to have a look. You told me about swans the other day.
Yeah, swans in Venice.
And I hope that we can have the the balls to go, look, let's not go backwards. Let's look at the positives from all this and go forwards and go, let's change the way we live. Because I'm worried about the environment you're going to grow up in. I think it could be horrific. You could have no money, your planet's falling apart, and, you know, it's smaller and smaller amount of people are owning most of the world's wealth. Is that, I mean, that's true, right?
Yeah. I think that's a really nice way of looking at things and a tad optimistic. But I think, I mean, in terms of what I know, which is education, this whole kind of scrapping of A-levels could be a really good opportunity for them to look at kind of how they are judging us, because obviously this year they're judging us differently. So in terms of rejigging everything, I think that would be, I mean, ideal, but I'm not sure it's going to happen.
It's a good opportunity for things to change. I think, I mean, shockingly, I may actually agree with you.
Wow.
To an extent.
Well, I mean, you know the way I feel about exams. I think that the way we're judging our children, and I think the way we've turned education. Sorry, I'm like on a soapbox here, but I don't know why I've just felt. I think it's because I've got you two sitting here and actually listening to me, which is quite a nice way. But I feel that the way that we've turned education into a competition is singularly the most stupid thing adults, and I class myself as an adult,
really,
ever done. We've only just, with the schools are in competition, the teachers are in competition, the pupils are in competition. You're all in competition with each other because a certain set amount of people get an A star, then the next band gets an A, and that's how it works. It works its way down like that. You're in competition with each other, and it's bullshit. It should be, sorry to swear in front of you girls, but it should be, was I good enough to pass? Not, am I better than that person? How on earth, the stress I watch you two under as you're revising for your mocks or your GCSEs and everything else, I think it's disgusting. And we wouldn't let people do that in the workplace. So why are we doing it now? Why can't education be fun? Why can't you, like, skip to school every day going, I can't wait to get in there and learn? Because you two love learning. And yet school, when it comes to exam time, becomes a pressure. Now, I know everyone listening will be going, we've got to test them. Otherwise, how do we know who's the best? What does it matter? Because there's more to being the best than just passing an exam. When you actually employ someone, I've employed people with no qualification, I've employed people with qualifications. It doesn't matter. It's about the personality and it's about the eagerness to learn. Obviously, if you're going to be a doctor, you'd kind of like the idea that they've got qualifications and learn. And also, if they're about to fly your plane, you'd probably like them to have taken the lessons and learned how to fly the plane. But am I making a valid point? Silence.
Yeah, I think you are. I don't really know what the alternative would be, but I think you're right that there should be more.
I've got an alternative, and if we carry on doing this, I can come up with it.
They should put you in charge.
They should put me in charge.
But I agree with you. It's too focused on one exam.
People like Drew Povey, who we've interviewed on the podcast, who was the headmaster in Educating Manchester, who said school's lost its purpose. You know, you're supposed to be going there and wanting to go, and it should be educating the children, teaching them how to get through life. All we're trying to do with you girls is actually all the children at school is just go how intelligent can you be and how much can you remember and everything else. Right, Mark, what have you got, any positives from the situation we're in at the moment?
Yeah, but you're not going to like it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've quite enjoyed over the last week strangers not approaching me and talking to me on public transport. Everyone's keeping their distance from me, and I like it.
When you're out.
What's that, sorry?
People usually talk to you on public transport.
Yeah, I always get approached by people.
That's because you're kind and they can tell you're kind. You've got a good energy, Mark. Namaste. I found that I spent all my time talking to mates now. I like, even me and you the other day, we end up FaceTiming each other rather than speaking.
We never
to each
do
other.
That.
I know, but I really liked it. I really like actually looking at all my friends when I talk to them. Some of my mates won't answer though when I do it, but a lot of them are. Anyway, I think that's it for today's podcast. I mean, I'm kind of tempted to do a few more of these if you are, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not busy at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, if you fancy us doing some more, let us know. And you can tweet me at Tim Lovejoy. If you've got any questions for Grace and Rose as well, questions for Mark, questions for me, questions for Grace and Rose. We should do our questions to anyone, to you, Mark, because you promised to do it on a previous podcast.
Let's do that,
And we should do it to Grace and Rose as well. Any questions to me as well, or anything you want us to discuss, put it to us. You can go dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com or you can tweet me at Tim Lovejoy, and we'll put it on there, and we'll see, and we'll do some more conversation. That's it for
I'd like to just sorry, just very quickly, I'd like to a little special request out for any of our international listeners to hear how you're getting on from around the world, because it'd be nice to hear your stories as well, because we've got loads of international listeners, and that would be nice to you know, hands across the water and all that sort of thing. That'd be good fun.
That's actually a great idea. I've got a virtual pub the other night with a load of my mates from Europe, Holland and Denmark and Norway and Scotland, and it was really lovely listening to everybody. We're all in this together, and I really think it's the again, I know I'm dreaming and you're going to look at me like I'm stupid, but I really hope this is an opportunity for the world to come together a bit as well, because I don't think this is the last time. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and this is not the last time a virus like this is going to happen. We're going to have more of them, so we need to prep ourselves, and I think the world needs to come together in this a bit and have a look at how we do it so we can shut it down quicker and protect ourselves. I'm feeling very positive, negative about the situation we're in, but positive how we're going to come out of it, and I think if we all can take a positive attitude, I think it would be great. We need a bit more peace and love, joy out there, and that's it for this week's podcast. So thank you, Grace and Rose. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I'm excited when the money comes in too.
Yeah, what's our cut again?
Your cut, right. What's their cut of nothing again, Mark?
I can't remember that. I'm not very good at maths.
All right, we'll see you all soon. We'll be back shortly. For the time being, peace and love, joy.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Hey, I get the last word. Bye.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you for listening to the Dear Lovejoy podcast, written and hosted by Tim Lovejoy and produced by Mark Augustine. If you would like to contact us, then our email address is dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. Or Tim is on Twitter @TimLovejoy and on Instagram @TimLovejoy_official.